I'm kind of curious, when you see a patient like that, or a patient who has 50 or 60%, in your own mind, and maybe even if the patient asks you, of course, the thing we're really looking for is a prolonged period of disease-free progression, whether it's response or not. But what's so fascinating about immunotherapy is you see patients who go a lot longer than you might see with other forms of systemic therapy like chemotherapy. I don't know how long we're talking about, maybe a couple years or maybe even longer. When you see a patient like your patient and you think about that, in your mind, what do you think the chances that they're going to have a prolonged, period without having to switch therapy or maybe even go off therapy?
Yeah, I think for the patient with a high PD-L1 staining, I think they have a very high chance. I'm going to guess it's 50-60%. This is all early data. We don't have good answers for this, but that's my suspicion and that's my experience thus far with first-line immune checkpoint inhibitors. I think when we move the cut point lower, it gets more complicated. And I think one thing that's important to remind ourselves is that there have been trials using nivolumab that used a cut point of 5% in the frontline setting, and that trial didn't show superiority of immunotherapy. Now, granted, the outcomes were very similar between immunotherapy and chemotherapy, but it didn't show superiority. And similarly, we've seen the top-line data from the MYSTIC trial, which compared durvalumab to chemotherapy, and they used a cutoff of 25%. And again, that was not a positive trial. That was not a superior thing to give immunotherapy in that setting. So we have trials of 5% and 25% saying immunotherapy was not better than chemotherapy. And now the only trial that's positive is one that had a 50% cutoff. So we should respect that 50% cutoff, but understand the data upon which it's based.